Gotham, the city that never sleeps. Terrific. How do I get a purchase order to the city that never sleeps from a town that went to bed an hour ago? And there's no fax machine in the hotel. Newton communicates.
The best 30 plus minute off conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Lesh. Joining me today, he enjoys being the founder of Cultimac, writing Apple books, and staying at the pub until they literally force him to leave. Leander Caney is here.
Hello.
I'm not going anywhere.
Sir, that's the curtain.
Wow, were you there last night?
Also with us, his likes include the wonderful, enjoyable game of darts, robotic cat litter machines, and yelling at Cultimac riders like he's their drill sergeant. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey, welcome to another week. Thank you for having me.
You're real excited. I like it.
Wow.
That sounds good.
Yeah, baby. Oh, wait, that was the soundboard.
Yeah, Leander and Lewis are both, they're ready to rock and roll. Leander had his 12 to 13 beers. Lewis had a cup of coffee, and he did some illicit drugs, so we're ready to rock and roll. And that's good, because we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Let me bring up my notes. This shouldn't excite me, but it actually does a whole lot. We're going to talk about how it looks like Apple might be reviving their rainbow Apple logo, at least in some capacity for some of their products. Think about that on like an iPhone or something. Get out of here. Also, we got to talk about this mega, super, huge, viral app that you probably saw, even if you don't know that you saw it, that creates old-looking photos of people. The most unbelievably hyper-realistic, old-looking person photos I have ever seen. And it does a lot more than that, but there's a controversy with it because it seems like when you upload your photos, they all get loaded directly onto Vladimir Putin's server, and then he gets to look through them and collude with American politicians over your photographs. So we'll talk about that. And let's see here. Oh my goodness. Apple might soon be funding and releasing their own original podcast. Lewis is going to tell us about that. And we're going to wrap up with one of the wildest stories I've seen this year. This one about the great lengths that Apple factory employees go through to sneak out those prototypes and the things that we see getting leaked. They're going like Shawshank Redemption level on some of these products. You won't believe it. So we'll wrap up with that story. It was kind of fun. Before we dive in, let me say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you're looking to start a website and begin selling products, you will not find a platform that makes it easier than Squarespace. It's simple to add and edit products. You can track orders and inventory. You can add banners that communicate with your visitors about what's going on the site. You can add discount codes of all different kinds. Plus, they have Apple Pay support built right in so people can pay with their Apple Pay stuff. And you can use their new store tools to integrate directly with Instagram so that people can buy your products right within Instagram. You know, like when you're browsing Instagram and all of a sudden one of those ads comes up and you can browse people's products in their store. They make it possible to do all that. I run a Squarespace store and it pretty much just runs itself. Once you get it set up, you literally have to do nothing but ship the orders. It's zero maintenance. Plus, it integrates with a ton of third-party tools that can help you with things like shipping and accounting and all that other kind of businessy stuff. Check it out, squarespace.com/cultcast. You can build a website, you can build a blog, you can build a store. See how you like it. And when you're ready to purchase their service, you can get 10% off your first purchase with code CULTCAST at checkout at squarespace.com/CULTCAST. Do you guys not hear this incessant song that's going on? Do you guys not hear that?
Yeah, I hear it.
Okay, you do. It's extraordinarily loud. I don't know what's going on, but it sounds like someone is creating an ice sculpture or something with a chainsaw out there. It's like,
yeah, like a redwood sculpture.
Yeah. He's been going at it for like 20 minutes.
What's he making?
What could you possibly be? I can't see anything. I just hear, it sounds like a Friday the 13th movie out there. I don't know what's going on? But I just hear this guy using this chainsaw, and he's been going at it for like 45 minutes. What could you possibly be doing with a chainsaw for that long? How long does it take to cut a tree?
Chopping up his wife.
You're not broadcasting from Texas, are you?
That's right. Oh, please don't let that be true. Okay. One other quick notification. Well, one other quick request about notifications before we dive in. This comment comes from Renato S., who pinged me on Twitter. He's amongst the army of people who email me or tweet me every single week and say, please, dear Lord, tell Leander and Lewis to turn the notifications off on their iPhones and Macs. We've been doing this for over 7 years, and it still happens almost every show. I don't even understand why you guys have your phones on volume anyway. Mine is perpetually in vibrate mode. But every show between the two of you guys, there's always ding, dong, bloop, bloop, tweet. The entire show, please. This is going to be, you got to consider this like a movie theater, Lewis.
Theater mode. Okay, I'm in theater mode. I'm doing it right now. Ready? Listen.
Okay, yeah. I didn't hear anything, but.
Well, yeah. That's good. I'm in theater mode.
Good point. Okay. From now on, everyone can be my witness. Leander and Lewis have sworn an oath. Leander, you just heard him. Lewis, with his silence, have sworn an oath to put their phones on silent. I don't think I've ever had my phone have a single notification go off during the show. But I also have to admit, I don't understand why people get so mad about it. Some people get really irate, and those are the people I hear from.
Probably, you know, they're probably checking their phone, right? Thinking it's theirs.
Okay, but I saw this happen in a YouTube video the other day, and I looked at my iPhone, and I just thought, oh, it's just a YouTube video, and I moved on with my life. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get mad. It didn't make my blood pressure go up, but some people really get pissed. And I have to say, this guy, Renato, he did say that if you don't silence your phone, if he hears your phone one more time, he's going to show up to your house with...
A chainsaw? Is that him outside? He must think it's you, not me.
It's going to be about 3 in the morning, and you're going to hear that sound outside your window. It's going to be Renato. His eyes are going to be bloodshot as could be. So I warned you, you know, don't end up in pieces in Renato's cannabis gym bag. Okay, let's start with this first story, Lander, about Apple's retro rainbow making the comeback we've all been hoping for.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's a story that says that Apple products may get the old that what? It could be, hold on, this is all messed up. I can't read this.
What do you mean? It's crystal clear. Details on which Apple products might get the new old logo weren't. Oh wait, yeah, I guess that doesn't.
Reading's not my strong point.
Actually, you know what? In your defense, I did just read that sentence, and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. Well, does it?
It's a bit garbled, but anyway, you know, they might be making the old retro logo might be making a comeback. So details on which products might get the new old logo weren't given. Yeah. There's some speculation they could bring it back to the Mac. Mac rumors shared the rainbow logo comeback rumor this morning, citing a, quote, well-connected tipster who in turn cites a corporate Apple employee in Cupertino, who in turn cites his wife's sister's husband's... best friend.
Who reads a blog called Cult of Mac.
Called Mac Rumors, right? Anyway, details on which Apple products might get the new logo when given. We already read that, didn't we? Apple could bring it back to the Mac. Oh, yeah, we read that too. they might add it to some special edition or product red iPhones. That could make sense as well.
Yeah.
So there may be some clues earlier this year that Apple might really embrace the old logo again. Now, this is the juicy part. Apple renewed its trademark on the logo last year. Okay, you know, I guess they're going to have to do that. But here's the part I thought was, because I was thinking about this. Johnny Ive also meticulously created a rainbow stage at Apple Park that used the rainbow Apple logo's design. Although Ive is a fan of minimalist design, even he seemed to want to bring the Apple rainbow Apple logo back. And he's quoted as saying, there is a resonance with the rainbow logo that's been part of our identity for many years.
We've seen these kind of vintage mock-ups of the iPhone for years now. Imagine if they created some type of iPhone version that kind of looked like a Mac. Maybe it was a little bit beige, but it had the rainbow Apple logo on the back. That's literally all they would have to do. They could leave the iPhone XS as is, just change the design to that. Boom. We're talking zillions of units.
You think it would? Because there's a company, which one is it, Slick Wraps or one of those? Mm-hmm. You can buy a sticker that you can stick on your phone. That makes it look like an old, you know, like a the old Snow White design language, you know, the sort of Apple II kind of C era type stuff with the rainbow logo. And you can do that with AirPods too. And I think
the AirPods skins never really made a ton of sense to me, but I do see those floating around out there.
Although, you know what? I don't think they have the rainbow logo, Apple logo on it, because, of course, it's copyrighted, isn't it? So I don't think they dare touch that.
You can't use it. People love vintage throwback type stuff. There's so many brands out there that release vintage stuff. People eat that stuff up. I love it. I was just going to say, one of the biggest mistakes, it's going to sound like I'm going on a tangent here, but this ties into the story, I swear. One of the biggest mistakes Taco Bell ever made was updating to that new weird purple branding that they have. Their old branding was much cooler, much more vintage, nostalgic feeling. And small history lesson for you guys. Do you guys remember when Taco Bell, in case you don't know your Taco Bell history here, did you ever hear when Taco Bell actually updated their branding nationwide? Do you guys remember when that happened?
No.
It was for the premiere of Demolition Man, where
Arnold and Wesley Snipes?
It's Wesley Snipes and
Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone, thank you. When Sylvester Stallone is woken up after being put to sleep, and he's woken up in the future, and I guess the entire world has been destroyed, and the last restaurant that they have is Taco Bell, but now it's like an upscale restaurant. And so they take him out to this really nice fine dining restaurant, and he realizes when he gets there it's Taco Bell, and they had changed all their branding with the premiere of that movie to match the branding in the movie. And the rest, as they say. Yeah, that's when they actually updated all. They started updating all their stores.
That's even crazier.
Right? And they've had that branding ever since. So there's your Taco Bell history lesson that I don't know why I know that. Yeah, but and it's something that you'll never need to know. But I guarantee you someday you might be watching Jeopardy and that question's going to come up and you're going to impress all your friends. Huh. You might even be on Jeopardy and win like $1,000.
Okay. It's lodged away in the memory. Do you remember when they changed for the rainbow logo to it was kind of like a silvery look?
Remember when that happened.
I remember it was a huge deal. I remember doing a story for Wired, Wired News back in the day, and it was like, you know, that was a big deal. It was definitely Steve Jobs type, you know, move. Mm-hmm. Like getting rid of the old dead wood, you know, getting, you know, slashing and burning like he does.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool. It was actually got, you know, like, there was a little bit of howling, but I think people really liked it really quickly. And then, of course, it went flat, you know, when Johnny Ive took over.
And then it went glowing, and then it went back to metal, which looks like a toaster oven. Yeah. That was the most heartbreaking one. The move from rainbow to silver I actually liked, but the move from glowing to glossy metal, I still don't love it. It's not my favorite Apple logo. I like that glow. There's something about that glow that gave the Mac personality.
Do you want it to go back to the rainbow, though?
I wouldn't mind. Yeah, if they did a Mac with a Rainbow Edition logo, if they charged $100 extra for a Rainbow Edition logo, I would complain that it was $100. You all know I would, but I would buy it. I would absolutely buy it. All it'd have to be is like a little plastic logo on the back, and I'd be like, okay, it's $100. You know, it might be worth it.
Well, worth it. What about you, Lewis? Do you like it?
I like the glowing one, the glowing white one. I really did. And I don't know. I wouldn't pay extra to have a. Yeah, I don't know.
You say that now.
I could see them doing like a, an iPod Touch or something like that, though. You know, like you were saying, some product red thing, some limited edition thing.
Special edition, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would have to be iPhone, though, because that's the one that they're going to make the most money off of. And then maybe move it down to Mac later on. Anyway, I just thought this was a fun story. And I know there's many of us out there who have a special place in our heart for that logo and would love to see it added back to products.
They should go back to the original Ron Wayne, you know, the Newton logo.
The woodcut one.
Yeah, with the apple falling from the tree.
That's a little involved.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that logo. There's a lot. It's like a lithograph, you know, it's got lines all over the place. You're like, what is going on in this logo? It's a huge... It looks like something a couple guys designed in their garage. Let's put it that way.
Well, it was one guy in a garage. It was Ron Wayne.
Oh, yeah. Was he the originator of that actual logo?
I think so, yeah.
Did he draw it himself?
Did he what? Teach himself?
Well, did he make it himself?
Had a woodcut?
Was he
he lost a couple of fingers, and it took him 12 years to carve it. I don't know.
Talented guy.
He probably...
I think he did it.
He probably photoshopped it up, but that was like before Photoshop.
Yeah, it was before the Mac, so he must have just carved it out of wood, like you said. carved it out of a plate of metal or something.
It's got a great, well, it's got the best ever quote going around the edge of it from Isaac Newton, or about Isaac Newton. And it's, you know, Newton, a mind forever voyaging through strange seas of thought alone. Trippy.
That's, profound, you had that memorized, didn't
scary.
You?
Scary. No, I just read it.
Oh, I was going to say.
This I could actually read because someone who, you know, it wasn't gibberish.
That's truly incredible. Yeah. What do you mean I copy and pasted that from Cult of Mac? No, I think I spiced it up a little bit. I put some spice in there.
Okay,
well,
cool.
I was, in my defense, I wasn't expecting to give you this story. So I put just enough words in there for me to ad lib. I wasn't expecting to have to read it verbatim like a robot. But then we gave it to you, and you went in there and just read it.
Oh, really? I bungled it.
So I blame you.
Charged.
Okay, let's move on because we got to talk about this viral face stealing app that has been all over the place. I mean, if you use Twitter, if you use Instagram, undoubtedly you've seen it. And it's the app call that's behind all of these old photo app, all these old people photos that you've been seeing. It's called FaceApp. I don't know if you guys have played around with this yet, but this app is unbelievable. It creates the most realistic aged photos of myself that I have ever seen. You literally cannot tell that they are altered in any way. The app is free. It's on the App Store, of course. But they have some cockamamie in-app purchase scheme. So some of the filters you can use for free, like the old face one, and then a bunch of the other ones, you're supposed to activate some pro mode, and they want $20 a year to use pro mode. These people are out of their minds. No one is going to pay them $20 a year just to alter their faces a few times. That's like a novelty app. Did you guys try this yet? Did you use it on any of your own photos?
I already look old. What do I want to look even older?
You can do youngify too, right?
You can do youngify too. The young version it made of me, I have to say, does not really look like my young photos.
Oh,
of course,
yeah.
let's hope to God that the old version doesn't look like
me
either.
You saw the creepy old one on Twitter. I was like, whoa!
Dear Lord! It made me look like, do you remember in Indiana Jones when that guy drank from the wrong cup? Like moments before he blew away in that whirlwind of dust, that's exactly what I looked like.
And what was that like? That was set for like 5 years in the future for you?
Yeah, it was two! That's 2 years. And it has a checkbox that says, do you spend any time with L. Caney? And I clicked it. And then, of course, it immediately aged me like another 15 years just off that premise alone. I uploaded a picture of Leander to see what you would look like in 30 years, Leander, and it was just a skeleton, so nothing to see there.
That's great. Thanks.
It was wearing a Kangol hat.
I saw people complaining about
the Kangol hat.
You know, how it was scaring them, but the whole, you know, like... the whole mortality issue, it brings it home into sharp relief.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. If I were a little older, maybe. Yeah. But this app is really fun to play around with. Anyway, so to the controversy, right? Because, of course, there always has to be a controversy. So this app became incredibly viral, and everyone started using the photos. And because it puts their little logo in the bottom of the photo, people can see what the name of the app is, and so it spreads all over the place like crazy. But the problem is apparently this app was developed by Russians.
Dun,
the
dun.
Russians made it. And it turns out this one developer noticed that when you install the app and allow it to access your photos, it starts, at least it appeared to start uploading all your photos to some unknown destination, which, of course, is disconcerting. The developer's name was Josh Nazi. I want to make sure I shout him out. And then someone sent me this snapshot of their terms of service. And if your photo's being uploaded to Putin's, you know, personally owned server, didn't bother you, this might. It says, in the terms of service, you grant FaceApp a perpetual, irrevocable, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid, transferable, sub-licensable license to use, reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, translate, create derivative works from, distribute, publicly perform, and display your user content at any time, username, or likeness provided in connection with your user content in all media formats and channels known now or later developed without compensation to you. That is wild to me. Look, I'm no lawyer. To me, that basically says they own your face. If they want to use your face for any reason at any point in the future, they can do that without asking you and without paying you. This doesn't even seem like it would be legal, but who knows? I've seen stranger stuff upheld in terms of service before. People take the companies to court, and the court says, well, you agreed to it, so this stands. So keep that in mind when you're using this app, if you know if you decide to use it. But everyone's been investigating this app now because the story kind of blew up this week. And 9to5Mac was talking to the developers, and they have addressed at least some of the privacy concerns that people have been raising. The company says it might store some of your uploaded photos in the cloud, but they're only uploading or they're only storing photos that you have uploaded, and they are not going to be storing those perpetually. They just store them for a short amount of time because the actual adaptation of your photo is done on their server and then sent back to your phone. And actually, if you use the app, you'll notice it's so buggy. It doesn't work maybe half the time. You'll try to adapt a photo and it will just give you some strange error message. Probably because their servers are getting so inundated with users right now because the app is blowing up so huge. So it is uploading your photos when you want to alter them. And they say they're not storing them forever, but their terms of service do say they basically own you and your children into perpetuity for any reason they want. So you got to keep all that stuff in mind. I only used it with photos that I took of myself. I didn't upload any photos that I had already had in my photo roll. I think that's one way to do it if you want to make sure that they're not getting some of your, you know, your secret nudies, LK, that you keep on your phone. Well, at least I know you keep on your phone.
It's the same model as that other, what was the name of the art app that turned, it would apply an art effect to any photograph that you uploaded?
I don't remember that one.
You remember? It was a big hit last year. Also, you know, from Russian or somewhere, you know, like...
Was it the same developers, though?
I don't honestly know. don't know. But, you know, because I don't remember there was a big privacy stink about that one, though.
Well, that was before maybe all the Russian stuff was blowing up, maybe. No, that's been going on for years, right?
Yeah, so that probably
wouldn't be it. It's literally been going on for years and years and years.
I think this one kind of got a little, because I think the initial complaint was that it was uploading a whole bunch. So people thought that it was uploading a whole, you know, your whole photo roll or a whole bunch of stuff, right, without permission. Yeah. And then I think that was what caused the initial sort of frenzy. And then people looked into it and it was like, okay, no, it looks like it's, you know, it's just one photo. But, you know, by that point it had unleashed, you know, Pandora's box. And
yeah, because there's no reason they should be slurping in your entire photo roll.
Oh, heck no.
There's no reason that should ever happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Anyway, just keep all that in mind when you're going through and creating these photos. But again, I will say this app, it is able to adapt your face in ways that I have never seen before. In fact, I don't know if you guys follow any deep fake stories that have been floating around recently. Do you guys know what deep fakes are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just for people that may not, it's a technology that allows people to superimpose other people's faces onto the faces in a video. So, for example, if you are watching a music video, you can take the face off Eddie Van Halen and put like Barack Obama's face on it, and now it looks like Barack Obama is shredding on that guitar, right? And previously, this type of technology, it never looked real. It looked like it was fake. But the technology has gotten to be so good, now they're even able to create realistic fakes in real time where they have an actor and his face is being recorded and in real time it's being superimposed onto some other piece of video. And in real time, his face is done in such a way that it looks like he's actually the person in the video. It's crazy because I feel like we could do a whole podcast episode on this. If you think about, video has been one of those things historically where if it's a fake, people know it's a fake. It's pretty obvious. But it's getting to a point now where people are able to superimpose other people's faces onto videos. And it's gotten to be so realistic that I think in the very near future, in fact, in some instances even now, you can't actually tell if a video is fake or not. So people can create basically fake videos that look real and can put people in positions having them do things. And you would never know that those videos are actually fake. It's like real-time Photoshop for videos, which is crazy, right? Because if you're watching a video online, you pretty much always assume, well, this must be real. It's a video. But very soon, you won't know if it's real or fake. Think how much chaos that could cause. People superimposing politicians' faces into situations. If they superimpose their face in a video where they're doing something illegal and that politician was never actually there and never partook in that illegal activity or something, that could cause so much chaos in our political system. That's the kind of stuff that this technology reminds me of, because it's so accurate. They also have filters for making your face young. You can change your hairstyles and put glasses on your face. They've got a great beardifier where you can add a beard to your face. It's the most accurate beardifier that I've ever seen. I mean, it's really worth kind of playing around with this app just to check it out. It just makes it bigger. Or it gives a beard to your beard. That's the ultimate scenario.
Double beard.
Your beard, double beard. Exactly.
Full dollarable.
I heard that they used many pictures from Buster's Instagram to change its beardifying technology, which is why it's so accurate and beautiful. Anyway, it's called FaceApp. It's free to use. There are in-app purchases if you want to purchase some of the other filters that they don't give you for free. And it's a fun app, I'll tell you that. I mean, even though Vladimir Putin is stealing your data, it's still fun to use.
It's worth it. It's well worth it.
It's totally. I mean, you know, he steals a few of your pictures.
They're probably training it. You know, they're sucking everyone's faces, and they're using it for machine learning training. You know, so they can make so that when you post stuff up saying you support the Democrats on a Facebook, it changes to saying you're going to be supporting the Republicans and Trump or whatever. It's like they're putting the next level, you know, disinformation campaign for the 2020 election.
Yeah, so they can spend another $6,000 on Facebook ads.
That's right.
And sway the election.
That's right.
We got them, comrades.
Uh-huh. Oh, I mean, the deep fake thing is terrifying, man. I mean, if you thought that selective editing was bad, wait till you can't believe anything at all that you see.
Right.
Terrifying.
Right, exactly. I know, it kind of, when you talk about it, it almost sounds like you're in the world of conspiracy theories or something, because it just sounds like so out there, like science fiction. But if you haven't searched for it before, search out some examples online and you will be shocked the type of stuff they're able to do now. And this technology is going to be ubiquitous, I think, probably in the next 2 years, because they're using AI to be able to superimpose faces into virtually any video. It's wild. It's wild technology. It's actually really cool, but also pretty scary. Okay, let's see here. Before we move on, Leander, did you want to talk to us about the beautiful watch straps available in the Cultamac watch store?
I would, yes. In fact, I would. Thanks for that. Thanks for that lead-in, yeah.
It was a reminder. So far from the front of his mind.
Yeah, we've actually got a really good promotion right now on Juke's Vitero bands. And Juke is a company out of Hong Kong. It's run by this industry veteran called Eugene Ho. He's been making like super high-end stuff, watch bands for premium brands forever. And he's branched out, you know, he's for a couple of years he's been doing Apple Watch bands, and they are fantastic. These are comparable to anything that Apple's putting out in quality and design. Anyway, these Vitero bands, they're inspired by race cars. They're made out of 6,000 series aluminum. I was going to say aluminium.
You almost and did.
I wish you had.
They're so nicely made. They're so precise. These are like link bands. They're extremely durable. I've got one on my watch right now that I've been wearing for a while. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful band. They're really, really good. They're really, really great. They look great. They fit great. And they, I think, you know, really a really good value, because they'll last forever. So we've got them at 20% off on the Cultamac Apple Watch store, which you can go to by going to store.cultofmac.com, store.cultofmac.com, and then take a look for the Juke Vitero bands. And, of course, we'll post it up in the show notes, right? A link directly to the
absolutely. Yeah, the product absolutely. Page. They'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, 20%. It's a really good discount. We never ever give discounts on these bands. So this is the first time that I think, anyway. And like I said, I think they're really, really nice, really, really good bands, really, really, really worth the money.
Fantastic. And by the way, the guy is still chainsawing. Can you hear him? We're, 30 minutes in, and he's still going at it. I'm going to have to go over there after we're done and see just what in the hell is going on over there, because now I'm just really curious. And it's not like a solid, like, it's just like, maybe he's like chopping firewood or something, getting ready for the winter. Okay, Lewis, let's talk about some very exciting news for us, because I'm waiting for TC's email. I think it's coming down the pipe.
It wasn't in your inbox already?
You know, it's funny. I thought it would be this morning, but I checked this morning several times, and I didn't have an email from him yet. But I know it's coming.
Better check
because
Apple
is interested. Oh, good idea. I didn't check that.
Yeah, that's where all the
It's going to be here any day. I'm positive of it, because if Apple is going to be funding original content, original podcasts, how could they churn away us? Not possible.
Yeah, you would think that first on their list, you know.
Top five, at least.
Yeah, so this is just Apple's latest push into services and original content, huh? You know, they're supposedly looking into sponsoring, bankrolling podcasts. And this is something Spotify's been getting into lately. Spotify's been buying up companies and really generating some buzz, I guess, with some original exclusive podcasts that they have. Now Bloomberg, citing unnamed sources, says that Apple executives have been in preliminary discussions with some media companies to buy the rights to podcasts. And Spotify spent millions, right? Apple is like the go-to place for podcasts, but they've just kind of kept a hands-off, approach to it, right? I mean, you're always complaining, like, they don't do anything to promote the podcast, right?
It makes me...
Not our podcast, but any podcast.
Any podcast. It makes me so mad. So mad. we could do a whole episode on this, and I could just... Because I have all these suggestions, and I've tried reaching out to Apple before and said, hey, I would love to just let me know that you're open to my suggestions. I'll tell you what you need to do to really help the ecosystem thrive and grow, and nothing, just crickets. You know, like, they don't ever respond. They don't seem to care. And I feel like podcasts could be so much bigger and better than it is. It's already growing like crazy, but it's still so small. And there's a lot of things they could be doing to really help the podcasting world grow. And Apple owns it.
Right.
I think like 85% of all podcasts that people listen to are listened to via the podcast app that Apple has on the iPhone.
It's just kind of another one of those things that Apple like started and then just sort of didn't pay that much attention to and just let it go along and roll along. And but, you know, they're facing some serious competition now, you know, because I don't know if it's serious, but I mean, other people are seem to be taking it more seriously than Apple. iHeartRadio, for instance, they're constantly flouting their podcasts. They're turning all their radio shows into podcasts. So anyway, we'll see what happens. It's pretty clear that Apple is taking it serious, right? I mean, they're coming up with a Mac podcast app or a Mac version of the podcast app.
Right.
I guess a web interface. I think is that all coming in Mac OS, whatever the next one's called, Catalina?
I'm not sure if the web interface is.
I'm not sure.
But the Mac app is, yeah.
I haven't heard an exact time frame on that, but...
I'm just happy to see them do something. I feel like podcasts are the newspaper of the 21st century. It's just the format. If you have never podcasted before, you'd be truly surprised at how low-tech the entire industry is. It's just unbelievable. I mean, you go on YouTube, and YouTube knows everything about you. They know when you start a video, when you stop a video. They use algorithms to help you figure out what content you might be interested in, which is the magic of YouTube. And then you get to podcasts, and it's basically just like a newspaper. It's like you put your quarter in, you open the machine, and then you get to pull out the paper, and then you just get to read it. And when you're done, it's over and done with, and there's no interactivity, no nothing. Well, the people that sold you the newspaper don't even know what you read. It's exactly like that.
It's great, you know. And I've heard people arguing quite persuasively that that's actually a good thing, you know, because this is like the early days of blogging, you know, before they did, before the web got completely ruined, you know, by trackers and surveillance and spying on your every move and following around the web and all this kind of like, you know, profiling stuff. Do you really want that to happen to podcasts? You know, to to on-demand audio. It seems like in a way it's a good thing that it's still kind of unspoiled here by money. Because the advertisers, once they can start to, they're chomping at the bit to track that kind of stuff. And, it's kind of it's a mixed bag.
Well, maybe not that specifically, but at the very least, it would be nice if Apple did a better job surfacing content that you might be interested in. Because right now, they don't do that at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I totally
it's basically just a giant phone book. That's all iTunes is. You go and you say, I want to look up Apple Podcasts. And it says, here are the people in the phone book that say they do an Apple podcast. And then you click the link and it takes you to that other person's server. Most people don't even know this. Apple doesn't even host the podcast themselves. They literally just save the URL that you've given them for your podcast. And then when you click on subscribe, it just sends you to that server that the person gave to them. And then you download the podcast directly from that specific person. So it's just like a big phone book.
Right. Well, have you used that? And on the podcast front page too, I mean, like, the stuff that they try to promote is just like sort of, the New York Times, daily news thing and Slate and whatever, and all these other ESPN and all these Disney's, podcasts or whatever, all these big podcasts from these big broadcasting companies. I don't think they're doing anything to surface stuff that isn't for somebody who isn't already a celebrity, doesn't already have a following.
Yeah, they're not. And that's been one of my biggest gripes with the Apple podcast for a long time Apple isn't using their platform to make your podcast successful. They're using your podcast to make their platform successful, which is
the podcast clients, don't some of them do a half decent job of recommendations?
I haven't seen any that do. Maybe there are some out there that I'm not familiar with. And if there are, if you guys listening have heard of anything that does a good job suggesting content that you might be interested in based upon the content that you already consume, I would love to hear about that type of thing, because I don't think that it exists currently. But I would love to see Apple do more of that type of thing. And at least they're doing something. So this news shows me, okay, it looks like maybe they're getting more serious about it. And perhaps podcast doesn't make Apple any money. So maybe if this move starts to generate more revenue for them, they'll start to take it more seriously and start to build it out more. Because if there's revenue, where there's no margin, there's no mission, as they say, if they start to make a little bit of revenue off it, they might say, oh, maybe we can increase the developers on podcasts from 2 to 6. And really take things up a notch. Let's really make it spicy. And we'll add all sorts of crazy technology like content suggestions, which would be really useful for the podcasting community at large. That's the frustrating part. I'm sorry, I don't mean to beat a dead horse. That's the frustrating part is Apple owns it and no one else can do anything about it because Apple by de facto owns it, since they are the ones that host all the podcasts on iTunes. They were the ones that did that first. And they also have the podcast app on the iPhone. So you can't compete with them. And yet they totally neglect their position. They don't do anything with all of the podcasting power that they currently have. So you're relegated to just use what they give you. And that's all there is. And it's like, come on, look at what YouTube's constantly doing. They're constantly iterating. They have Google behind them dumping money into it to try to improve it. Come on, Tim. That's what we need. Am I right?
I will see.
Amen. Can I get a hallelujah?
It would be good to. Discovery definitely is one of the things that I think is broken. But I mean, but people are complaining about Discovery and YouTube. I mean, there's a lot of criticism about it. The Discovery, the algorithm
pretty well,
surfacing the worst kind of content.
But when I use YouTube, it's constantly surfacing content that I think is relevant. In fact, it just showed me a video today, and I was like, this is wild. This is the magic of YouTube. I'm a huge Star Trek fan. Do you guys know who Brent Spiner is? No,
yes.
Probably not. You do?
Yes.
I once met
really
met Brent Spiner at Seattle Comic Con. I'll have you know. Yeah, he's a wonderful actor. He played Data in Star Trek: The Next Generation. And I was just perusing the YouTube homepage today, and it showed me a video that said this was the role that launched Brent Spiner's career. And I was like, okay, you got my interest. I clicked on it, and it was Brent Spiner's first role in, Lewis, you might remember this show. Do you remember Night Court?
Night Court?
Da, 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 da. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know he was on that.
I didn't either. That was his first role, was on Night Court, and you get to watch the entire segment.
Data
and I
got
thought
thrown
so that,
in the jail?
No, he didn't go to jail. The judge was very lenient on him because they had started a chicken farm and their chickens were exploding. Anyway, it's a long story.
So it's just like it one wasn't episode their fault then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. I think it was just it might have been just one episode. I don't know, because there's lots of episodes. I think there's like 9 seasons of Night Court, which is a great old show, by the way.
Right, that's the beauty of watching these old shows from the 80s, isn't it? I was watching Hill Street Blues, and there was like, who was it on that? It was amazing in an early role as a criminal.
And you used to see, or you saw some current actors who got their starts on those
shows. Right,
show,
and it's like
the
their first role, first, second role, really early in their career.
It's pretty cool to see that kind of stuff. Yeah. Anyway, I looked at the date when the video was over. This video was from 2007. The YouTube algorithm went in there. It figured out that I liked Brent Spiner, that I liked Star Trek, and it went down deep into the depths. It grabbed out this gem and showed it to me. And that's the magic of the YouTube algorithm. I'm sure it's not perfect, but how else would you possibly see content like that that you don't know that you would be interested in? Like, that is really smart AI that it would know that I would want to watch that entire video. That's what Apple needs for podcasts. All right. Have I sufficiently flogged that?
All right, okay. Rant over.
Okay, rant over. Let's wrap up with this wild and crazy story.
All right,
you guys would not believe what some of these Apple factory employees go through to bring us the prototypes that we get to see on YouTube. And Leander, did you want to go into details?
Sure, jump right in there. It began when after photos of the colorful iPhone 5C leaked in 2013. And according to this report from the information, Apple created a, quote, new product security team to monitor security at its most sensitive suppliers in China. And at one point, the team reportedly topped out at more than 30 people. The security team is said to have uncovered workers going to extreme lengths to smuggle valuable components out of factories over the years, with some attending to hide parts in crawl spaces, tissue boxes, shoes, belt buckles, bras, used mop water, and under discarded metal
shavings.
It's
like a prison! It's literally like a prison!
Right.
They're like, hey, I brought my friend a cake, and you're like, you open it up, and there's like
What's
an iPhone
file?
In it.
Yeah. And an iPhone, right.
Why is there LTE radiating from this cake?
Well, here's the best part, though. They even caught some factory workers, quote, digging a small tunnel in the corner of a room behind a large piece of machinery. They were hoping to use it to funnel stolen components to the outside. Quote, people were chipping away little by little at the wall, Shawshank Redemption style, one person said.
Someone cue up Morgan Freeman.
Right.
He puts his little finger in the poster, right? And all of a sudden his finger goes through and he rips it open. And there's a giant hole there.
Yeah, I got some things to say about this. Anyway, so over the years, Apple has tightened their security protocols even more to prevent further leaks. So they said, you know, some examples from the report, they said that trash bags must be clear and screened for metal before they're removed from the premises. Storage containers must be sealed with tamper-evident stickers. Parts must have unique serial numbers that can be traced back to the specific factory lines, and inventory is counted daily. And it says the suppliers who suffer leaks, the suppliers who have leaks coming out of them, may face multi-million-dollar fines. Which is,
and you said you had some anecdotes about this,
you know,
too, didn't you?
You know, in what world would factory workers be digging a tunnel to smuggle out components of the products they're making? Isn't there easier ways to do this? Like, you know, could you snap a picture of the phone? But I guess, you know, maybe they're not allowed to take phones in or any kind of recording.
Well, maybe
devices.
you want to sell the prototype.
Yeah,
maybe.
Right. Sell the parts. You know? This is definitely in the sort of, this is industrial espionage, right? Not just sort of like leaking.
Yeah. Like they're trying to smuggle it out and sell it to Huawei or something.
Well, I wonder where they are getting sold to. You know, I know, if, you know, do you think Huawei would be interested in, like, I guess they would be interested in individual components, would they? Like, you know, and competitors maybe as well to see who's
I would imagine they all would. Yeah, exactly. If you went to Samsung. Now, look, Samsung is an upstanding company, sure. But if you went to them and you said, hey, I got the iPhone 12 here. You guys want to take a look? I'm going to guess they might slide a couple ducats across the table and just have you leave it there for them to examine.
Yeah, more than a couple. I mean, if they're digging a tunnel, yeah. You know, that's going to be some serious cash is going to be involved if it warrants a tunnel.
Exactly.
I mean, tunnels, you know, it's like people on the, you know, who are smuggling drugs across the, you know, from the border and that kind of thing. I mean, you know, getting prisoners out. I mean, it's mad.
Yeah, it doesn't get more serious than a tunnel.
No.
You know, if you're digging a tunnel, That's about as serious as it gets. How many people have dug tunnels in their lives and chipped away at a tunnel? Most people don't do it. You got to be in a pretty serious situation when you decide it's a good idea to burrow a tunnel behind a piece of industrial grade equipment and hope that nobody notices.
And yet, do you think, you know, the leaks haven't slowed down, have they? I mean, look at these latest mock-ups that have been cropping
They're
up.
Worse than ever, yeah.
The dummies, yeah. You know, like, it's almost like the industrial design has been completely, caveat, they may not be 100% accurate. You know, there's definitely some guesswork involved. But it looks like, again, you know, we know just about everything there is to know about these new devices.
It looks like there's a lot of creative interpretation happening around these schematics, and then people create like these mock-ups based upon the schematics that they've seen. But from the ones that were recently posted on YouTube, people seem to be fairly confident that this is what the phone's going to look like. And by the way, I thought they actually looked pretty decent. They made that square, at least in the mock-up that I saw, the camera square, which I don't think looks that good, but they made it the same color as the phone itself, except for the three lenses, and I thought that was a much better look than having it be black around the lens, so it doesn't stand out as much.
We were talking about this earlier. Yeah, Ben Geskin was the one. He's a serial. He gets a lot of leaks, but that's purely speculative though. That's his own interpretation, right?
Seemed like a mock-up, so you don't know if it's actually real.
Yeah, but like you said, I mean, it does look nice. You know, with Johnny Ive leaving the building, maybe they will. They'll rip his idea off.
He'll be looking to Twitter for some design
inspiration. Yeah.
Hey, before we wrap up, I completely forgot. There's one thing I wanted to mention. Do you remember how we were talking about paying your IRS bills with iTunes gift cards the other day?
No way.
I kid you not. I got a call yesterday that I didn't recognize, and I pick up the phone. And the message comes on, hello, this is the IRS. We wanted to let you know that we have suspended your Social Security number due to back taxes or something along those lines. And we would like to speak with you about this issue immediately. Press 1 to connect to an operator. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. I definitely want to hear what these people have to say. And I was like, so I pressed 1 just instinctually. And then I'm looking around my office. And I want to record this conversation because I'm like, I got to get this for the podcast, right? This guy's going to ask me to pay my IRS quote unquote back taxes with an iTunes gift card. I've got to get this recorded. So I press 1 and it goes to like some hold music, you know, and I'm waiting. And then the music stops and then it's just silence. So I wait another 30 seconds or so and I say, hello, hello. And no one picked up. So I waited a little longer, and then eventually I just hung up because I'm like, they can't even get this technology working. They're trying to scam us out of our iTunes gift cards. They can't even get their phone system working. No one would connect to me to talk to me.
That
so
is weak.
I know, it's real anticlimactic. I know. You guys thought I was going to have this whole story about the iTunes gift card situation. Well, they couldn't even connect me to the ripoff artist who was going to try and scam me. So that's it.
Great story.
Yeah, I know. It basically went nowhere.
Did you pick up some gift cards on Prime Day, though?
Actually, I did pick up one $50 gift card. Thank you to Cultamac, who posted that deal, and I got myself a $50 gift card for $40.
Me too.
You did?
I took your advice.
Yeah, there you go. So now you can pay your iCloud photo storage fees, or they've been having some wild sales on movies in the iTunes store. I bought the entire old school selection of Batman movies in 4K, all four of them.
What, the Adam West ones?
Well, no, the ones like with God, Val Kilmer and
The worst Batman?
He was not the worst. Well, he might have been. It was among the better ones in my opinion. Anyway, I got that whole set.
Seen that actually.
Oh, those are classics. Those are classics. I got the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Ice, where he's clowning on some of the good guys, and he turns around and he goes, "Chill out."
is that his signature line from that movie?
Yes, because he's Mr. Ice, right? And that movie has some of the worst puns I've ever seen in my entire life. In fact, there's someone who did a whole collection of them on YouTube, and it's just all the worst Arnold Schwarzenegger Mr. Ice puns from that one movie. Anyway, now I'm just rambling. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Leander, look at how early I got you done. This is a new record. You can get out the door minutes before you went into to leave.
Excellent.
There you go. Well, my friends, that's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come, say hi to us. We're all on Twitter. I'm at Aerofon. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Leander is at L. Kenny. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute alpha conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every single Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Was the hat.
Was that a deep fake?
That was my Arnold Schwarzenegger Total Recall impression. I thought that spoke for itself. Remember when they're pulling that thing out of his nose?
What?
Do you remember when they're pulling out that track right out of his nose and he goes,
no?
No,
I don't remember that.
You guys don't remember.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I didn't recognize that really clear
spot on.
Spot, yeah, moment from the movie.
Hello, Gov.
Hello, Governor!
Oh, both are peppy today.
Is Lewis peppy?
Oh, he's real peppy.
What?
He said he drank a cup of coffee and did some meth.
Good combo.
In fact, that was me yelling outside your office window this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, boys, I gotta wipe my ass in the face.
Jesus.
Someone said that?
Some crazy old lady out of the window wide open, and she's like right in the middle of the road. She's dragging this giant yellow suitcase. She's about 60, clearly messed up and out of her mind. And she's like, that stupid fucking bitch, I'm going to wipe my ass in her face while she's sleeping. When she wakes up, she'll know it's my ass.
That is a maniacal plan.
I was hoping to catch it on the recording, and it would be quite a funny little way to sign off.
Woo! Gotta love that. Those open air San Francisco afternoons. You never know what's gonna happen.